Choir, our Exalt Choir Ensemble comes on up and fills this loft. We all know that this has been a very different season for us as a church. Normally we'd have about 60 people in this choir, but in order when we needed to start rehearsing months ago, we still weren't allowed to meet together as 60 people. So what we did is we broke our 60-person choir into four separate ensembles, and you're going to get to hear a different group of people from this choir every single week this Advent. We pray that that will be a blessing to you. This is the first ensemble of our four Exalt Choir ensembles, and David Montalvo is going to lead us in singing a song called Wake the World with Joy. We pray that you enjoy.
Tell everyone, both far and near, the Lord has come, salvation's here. Proclaim the birth of Christ our King, across the earth rejoice and sing. Wake the world with joy. Wake the world that Jesus Christ is born. Wake the world with joy. He comes to save on heaven's wings. Amazing grace our Savior brings. Declare the word both night and day. The Lord of Lords shall lead the way. Wake the world with joy. Wake the world that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. Wake the world with joy.
Man, I was so good, I was ready for another one. Morning, church. How was your Thanksgiving? Yeah, you still full? Nah, no, you're not. Hey, we got if you don't know who I am, my name's Chris. I'm the student ministry pastor here at FBC. We just got a few quick announcements because I want to get back to this. This was awesome. Hey, for Christmas Eve this year, we usually do a service here, but because of COVID and other circumstances, we're going to be doing a Christmas Eve service online. So what we want you to do is you're going to have these cards out here on the table and in the foyer. Grab a stack of these, hand them out to your friends, to your neighbors. And what you could do also for those of you who are tech savvy is you can have watch parties at your house. So you can invite your neighbors, have all the goodies, and create the environment. And then you're going to have Pastor Mike, Pastor Gus giving a devotional. You're going to have Shelanie doing the music. And then they're going to be in your home, and you're going to have an opportunity to share what we're singing about today. So grab these cards, and all that information will be on there. Today is the last day of our student fundraiser. We'll be out in the courtyard right now. We have 200-plus tickets out circulating with students. So if you see a student and he or she has a ticket with a big smile on their face, it's only $35. This spaghetti meal feeds a family of four, and you're going to help our students get to camp. Last thing we have for you today is we had a Thanksgiving feast at the McNeil's house, and there's a whole bunch of pictures that we have here. So it was here. Oh, man, even better. So check the screen out right here, and we'll see.
Thank you so much, Erica, for that. What a wonderful time we got to share together. Church, let's stand and let's sing now together as we bring in the season with songs of joy. to offer it that way to the Lord as you sing, "Come, thou long expected Jesus." Would come forward. We're going to get ready to take the offering this morning.
Amen. Sorry, we were caught up in a little prayer time there. Got excited. Let's have our ushers get ready to receive our offering today. So many good things to be thankful for this season, especially as we begin Advent. Y'all look a little heavy-ish. Just thought I'd let you know that. Actually, I got on the bathroom scale this morning. No, it said one person at a time, please. I didn't lose, but I didn't gain. That's pretty good. So I'm thankful. What I'm really thankful for is that, for those of you who don't know, Luke Warren had an ATV accident and is up at Stanford, but he's doing much better. And we are really appreciative of all of your prayers. And Warren wanted me to communicate that to you. And we are so appreciative of God who has been healing him and doing wonderful. And then just so you also know, for those of you who didn't see the Facebook post, Danny Brooks, who was our missionary to the Philippines, who is now in, what country is he in now? Roche, Missouri. Yeah, foreign country. And he is there teaching at a school, and he got his testing all done, and it came back negative for any cancer. So praise God. God is, he is answering prayer, and so we are so grateful to him. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll have these good-looking gentlemen come by. And one beautiful lady amongst the good-looking gentlemen, and we'll celebrate Thanksgiving by giving unto the Lord. Father, what a day of rejoicing this is, a blessing to begin our Advent, Lord, to think about who you are, to be reminded of all of the names that you go by, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Arm of God, the Mighty One. Over and over again, Lord, we are reminded of who you are, the Alpha and the Omega. And we have come to worship you today, Father, with great rejoicing in our hearts. Again, I return thanks to you for the good news for Danny Brooks, Lord. What a blessing that is. I know his heart's desire is to be in a tribe somewhere, Lord. And because he is now cancer-free, Lord, that becomes more of a reality. There is going to be a whole group of people who have never heard about Jesus, hear about Jesus for the very first time. And hundreds will come to know you as Savior. What a blessing. Thank you for taking care of Luke, Father. Watch over him. Conceal that healing process, Lord. For all those who are ill, for especially those who are lonely, who cannot get out, who are afraid, Father, because of the COVID that's going around. I just ask that you give them comfort and peace. They're just protecting themselves, Father. But please don't allow them to be so lonely, so isolated, so fearful that they forget to fellowship with somebody, Father. So bless them in these moments, Lord. Bless all those who are online joining us this morning. For those who, Father, can't be here, who are traveling, we're going to ask that you watch over them as they return home safely. What a beautiful time and a season that you've given to us to remember and to say thank you and to celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless now both the gift and the giver this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Souls now and receive. Thank you. That was awesome. Heaven, amen. Richard, you're all the boy. Kurt, amen. Shelly, thank you. Wow. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bob. That was awesome. Good morning, men and women of God. This is the day the Lord has made. We might as well rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I looked at this and I'm thinking about Advent, and when I came back from our 3 months of being gone, I didn't know what we were doing. I was out of sync, and so I asked Shelly, what are we doing for Advent and the names of God and who He is? And I just got so stinking thrilled, and I had asked her, I said, well, wow, that's good. So I'm going to do out of Hebrews, and then in a couple weeks out of Isaiah 53. I can hardly wait. But I was thinking about the American Christmas, and you think about our American Christmas. It's not this way like when you go to Ethiopia. If you spend Christmas in Ethiopia, Christmas is all about Christ, all about Christ. And we're going to look at a little different today, because in America, what has happened, you think Advent. My wife and I were talking about it. We didn't grow up in a church that had Advent. We had never heard of Advent until we were in our 30s. And the truth is, it was my worship pastor. I got out of Trinity Seminary. One of the guys called me up and says, we've got a really good student. He's graduating here, but he needs a commanding general to put him in line. And I said, well, that's not me. He said, we think it is you. We would like you to interview him and see, and we did. His name was Bill Orris, a great man of God. I mean, turned out to be a great man of God, and he had a little bit of arrogance because he was so stinking talented. And the first thing, he was a little arrogant, but he said, are we doing Advent this year? And I asked him, well, what in the world is Advent? Changed my life forever. Because Advent, what does it mean? This is the first Sunday of Advent. It means the coming or the visit. That's what it means, the coming or the visit. See, when we think of Christmas in America, we think of presents. We think of Christmas trees, Santa Claus, a lot of presents. And we do have a manger scene. But the focus is not the coming. The focus is the gifts in America. And there's nothing wrong with those gifts. But the focus of Christmas is the coming, the visit. And so today I'm going to talk about that, some of the ways we prepare our families for Christmas. How do we do that? The advent of Jesus the Christ. That's who He is. In the generation I think we find ourselves, there are some things we need to ask, and that is, who is Christ? Where did He come from? That's one of the beautiful things Shelly did. I was telling her, I'm so excited. I was putting this message together a few weeks ago, and I just get elated over the eternal breath. And I said, yeah, no, I'm telling her this, and I said, who is Christ? And she goes, where did He come from? That's like way too cool. What did He do? Where did He go? Why do we even do this? So I wanted to take you on a little bit of a journey this morning. And if you have your Bibles, you can look in Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to go on 3. And, well, they've got some of it right here. This is on verse 3. But let me give you the first two verses. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and here, listen to this one, and through whom He made the universe. It's really fun because you look into Isaiah and he says, I made the earth by myself. Who is Jesus Christ? God taking on human form. And then he goes, the Son, Jesus the Christ, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Who is He? Some things I wanted to give to today, we're going to walk through who is Christ, because I think, why do some people get so overwhelmed and some people become consumed with the magnificent new nature? It's because of Christ Himself. And I want to give you what I call heartfelt issues to look at today. And the one is, He is our designer, He is our defender, and our deliverer. And so the Son is the radiance of God's glory. the radiance, the exact representation shining forth from the source of light. I mean, he is exactly, if you want to know what God is, look at the sun. If you want to, he is the radiance. He is the magnificent one. I remember on that day when I called on the Lord, I didn't know diddly squat. I wasn't raised in a church. I just had heard some man preaching, and I thought, I want to know him. I hadn't had a thought about being saved. I didn't know the word. I didn't know about going to heaven. Didn't have any thinking about going to heaven. My thought was, if there is a God, could I know him? I grew up my whole life wishing I could know him. I felt like I wanted to know God. He was on my money. Everything I had, he was there. Where would you find him? Where would you go to find God? And on that day when I bowed down and I just turned to him and I said, I'm not here. I'm not here to be saved. I'm not here to go to heaven. I'm not even here to be forgiven. And I said, unless that's important to you, I found out it was important to me. Okay. I said, I'm here because I want to know you. And when this thing is over, and I was a young man, I meant life. When life was over, I want to be wherever you are. And with my own eyes, I want to behold you. And at that moment, he changed my life. There was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, hit me on the top of the head, went right through me, scared the whooping weebie-jeebies out of me, honestly. I mean, I had fear and joy all at the same time, and this radiance that hit me, I didn't know about it. I turned to see the guy on the, and it was in a bedroom, and I looked at Kurt sitting on the bed, and he had his mouth hanging wide open. He was like, I said, what was that? He said, I don't know. I said, well, you should have told me that was going to happen. That scared the poop out of me. So I want to give this to you because I want to give you the sun. I want you to know the magnificence of Easter and Christmas. I want you to understand the magnificence of why do we even attend church? Why do we have the gathering that we might know him? Could he possibly give me something, a healing in my body, something more greater than himself, more wealth, a better life? No, the greatest would be him. He is the absolute radiance of God's glory. The sun is light of lights, the personification of all that God could possibly ever be. That's why I always tell people when they come to know the Lord, read the Gospel of John. And now I tell them also, when you finish John, go to Hebrews. Read it. Understand the magnificence. Light coming forth from the original source. Not a reflection of rays. He is eternal. That's why when the shepherds came out, when they were in the fields, these are the lowest of all the people of their time. That's why the shepherds were there and the angel said to them, "Give good news to you." The overwhelming joy. And yet we get so used to it in our time. Jesus Christ is the radiance of his glory. Therefore, only the Son can reveal the Father. We're going to see that in a moment. Why is that true? Because sin can never come into the presence of God. No man can look at God. He is the absolute timeless existence, glory. Not merely shining forth of an attribute or something about God. You want to know, well, who is this anyway? Are you a religious person? No, I'm not religious at all. I walk in the presence of the Almighty. I feel this good pleasure. This is glory. The incomprehensible glory of God coming forth in the sun and the radiance of his glory. Just as we cannot see the sun without its light, you cannot see the Father without Christ. Without this advent, this awakening to prepare us, God is hidden from us without the sun. In fact, in Colossians 1 it says, he, Christ, Jesus the Christ himself, is the image of the invisible God. This is where we want to go. This is what we want to experience. You have to ask yourself, would you want to know him? Do you want to know him? Would you like to be awakened? Jesus the Christ is God's radiance. You know, when you talk of God's radiance, when they speak of the Lord, they speak of God, just the word God. Listen to what he says. Who alone is immortal? God is the only one that is immortal, who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one can see, has seen, or can see. That's out of 1 Timothy 6:16, NIV. But listen to the New Living. This is God. God alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye can ever has seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever and ever. No one can approach the Almighty. When Moses wanted to see me, he said he put him in the cleft of a rock for a reason, for Moses' sake. Because if he'd have looked at him, he'd have been dead. Sometimes we think of God as like he's some Superman, full of, maybe there's some light in him or something, but he's like this old man. And that is, God has no form. When he tells you in Isaiah, I stretched out the heavens by myself and I humbled myself and came into it like a tent. The magnificent one. What could I possibly find? How could I discover the one that I can never look at? But Jesus Christ is the light I was meant to see. John 1, 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has never understood it. He is the exact representation of God's being. He is the very image of the nature of God. What God essentially is manifest everything in Christ. I love this song. I'd never, when love came to walk on water. Love came to turn water into wine. The love of God. Why would God take on a human form? Because he loves us. What do you mean? How many people have blamed God for every sad thing they've ever had? If God loved me, why did this happen? If God loved me, I did that when my best friend was killed in Vietnam. I was so angry with him. I thought about him and I said, listen, if you're God, you could have kept Larry alive. And I was ticked. I was very angry. I didn't understand anything. Well, guess what? He did keep Larry alive. Because Larry, 2.5 months before he got to Vietnam, I led him to Christ while we're drinking a Budweiser reading the Gospel of John. That's the way I evangelized in those days. After memorizing the preamble on the Budweiser can. Larry goes, I want to know God like you do. How do you do that? Through Jesus Christ. So here it is. I love this kind of thing. To see Jesus is to see the Father. Jesus said, we know these scriptures. Don't you know me, Philip? Don't you know me? Can you imagine the words out of his mouth? Philip, don't you know me after I've been with you so long? You've walked with me. You've seen Lazarus raised from the dead. You've seen lepers healed. You've seen the blind. You watched the thousands being fed. You don't know me? That if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. How is it even possible, you're asking? I think an exact representation. There is nothing in the Father which is not in the Son. He is the revealer of God, the redeemer of man. He is the perfect expression of the character of God. In John 1, 1, one of my favorites, I always love giving my testimony. I was a young man who knew nothing of gospel. I had never been to church in my whole life. And when I came to Christ, and that wind hit me, and I walked into that living room, and I asked Kurt Sr., what do you do now? What do you do now? I know the Lord. I know the Lord. And of course, when I was young, I was really animated. I mean, I was really out there, okay? And I always thought I was shy for some reason. My wife said, you were never shy. But I felt like I was shy, but I was telling him, he said, what do? Read the Gospel of John three times as fast as you can. As fast as you can? Well, I don't even have a gospel. I don't even know what that is. And he handed me a little pamphlet of the Gospel of John in King James. Now, when I came out of high school, English was not my high suit. Okay? I got into that King James, and it was like it was in perfect English. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was in me, teaching me something. And I got into that thing and I went just like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the one and the only Son of God. Full. He was full of grace. Amen to that one. For it is by grace you have been saved through it. He is full of grace and He is full of truth, which we so desperately need. I got through reading that part, and all my friends, we'd gone up there we were doing fishing, we were doing boating, we were doing dune bugging, we were shooting things. We had a boat, I think it had a 427 in it, and we were going to fish in. We were trolling. We were trolling the Rogue River, okay? And That's what we always call it. You know, I said the problem with our fishing with that 427, we just ripped their lips off when they, if we did hook one, you know. But I looked at it, and I remember all the guys were going out to, Gus, are you going? No, I got to read the Gospel of John as fast as I can, three times. And I'm reading it today. And I got to these verses I just gave to you, and I walked out to them. Hey, Rick, right? Kurt, don't go down. I'm calling. Whoa, what? Now, these guys were all raised in a church. Their whole life, they were born in the church. They went to nursery in the church. They went to Sunday school in the church. They know this stuff. I walked out there and I read to what I just read to them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Wola bole. I don't know how he pulls this thing off, but Jesus Christ is God. You know how they responded? Yeah, okay. See ya. And I was like, how could you not? I have never slowed me down. If you get a rebirth spiritually, this Word comes alive every moment of every day. He is the reality of God's being. Notice this, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. What do you mean by that? He upholds the universe. Jesus Christ, the one who carries all things forward to their appointed course so that His will and His purpose are fulfilled. That's why Psalm 139 was always important to me later in my life when it says he not only saw my unformed substance, he saw me being formed in my mother's womb, and he says, I have numbered your days before there was yet one. He knows the day I leave this tent. So I've never been afraid or had anxiety or stress. I don't even know what all that is. I don't even feel like I've ever been intimidated by anything. How can you be intimidated by death when you're walking in the presence of eternal life? There's no intimidation at death. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, whatever you look at, whatever you listen to, do it for the glory of God, and you will be a changed man or woman. Even death will come on that day, and it'll bring glory to God. Listen to these words. He is before all things. This is Jesus Christ. He's before all things. That's why this candle is a, in Him all things hold together. There's nothing that isn't held together. He commands and it stands fast. I love this. He says to His disciples, where is your faith? Where is your faith? That He asked His disciples. And it says, and in fear and amazement, they asked one another, looking at each other. They're in the boat. You know where they are. They go, who is this? Who is this? We're in a boat. It's been storming. They think they're drowning. And they go, he gets up and says, where is your faith? Why are you stressed? Why is the anxiety here? What happened to your faith? You're going to know that without faith it's impossible to please God. We'll look at that later. But where is your faith? And it says, they said to one another, who is this? They're looking right at him. He's in their boat. Who is this? He even commands the water. He commands the wind. And then they obey him. Who does that? God. Here, Jesus Christ is described as absolute authority. He is the radiance. He is the perfecter. All of these things. And now, watch this. This is so beautiful. He's our deliverer. And this is what's so beautiful about faith. You know, I was saying to Jerry today. Here's Jerry over here. Retired CHP officer. Right, Jerry? Put the hand up. Let him know where you are. All right. He retired in the CHP so long ago, they were amazed he's still here. Okay? And so is he. And we were talking about it, and I looked at Jerry today, and I said, Jerry, think of the magnificence of God's grace. Through faith, to save two men like us. Two men that should have gone to hell. We deserved absolutely nothing. Well, what did he say? He said, yes. But God gave us grace and gave Jerry and me a great amount of faith. So I began to look at this. What does it mean that he provided the purification for sins? What in the world does that even mean? What gripped the author of Hebrews was that the Son of God came to deal with sin, the problem of sin. And yet I had a cousin just ask me the other day, what's this big deal about sin anyway? You know, I'm not all that bad. And I said, no, you're not all that bad. Actually, I'm comparing you to some other people. You know, you haven't murdered anybody yet. You know, you haven't stolen anything yet. Well, you probably have, but you didn't tell us. You know, you come from a very wealthy family, so you've been taken care of. But he says, yeah, what is that thing? What is this sin issue thing? So I want to tell you about it. The author of Hebrews, that the Son of God, the God Almighty, would come to deal with our problem. In fact, in chapter 2 and verse 17, Jesus the Christ is the atonement, the Redeemer, and the remedy for sin. In 8:12, Jesus puts away sin so that God will remember sins no more. In 9:28, it says, he took on my sin. In 10:12, he offered a sacrifice for sins. In 10:18, he made an offering of sin of himself. He offered himself. He freely gave. Death can only take that which is in a sinful world. Only that which has been cursed. That's why death could not take Christ. He had to hang on that cross willingly, and then he had to surrender his soul, spirit, to death. He had to give himself to death so that he would break its power, break its sovereignty. In 9:26, he put away sin by the sacrifice himself. 2 Peter, I love this, about the purification. And here's what purification is. After he had made purification of sin, what does that mean? It means the removal. What did God do? He removed it. He removed its power. He removed its authority. He removed its stain. He removed it. Yet how many of us struggle with who we are? We'll look at that. We always griping about ourselves or somebody else. And yet he said, I removed it. Do you know me? Have you come to know me? Then I removed all of it, every bit of it. Would that not cause you to rejoice that you can never be condemned again? Would that not cause you to rejoice to know that no matter where you are, you are in the presence of Almighty God, that you have become blameless and holy? Of all people, blameless and holy? Let me tell you what, if God can save Jerry, if he can save me, I'm doing it too. You're a little older than me, but I look at him and think, good grief, he can save anybody. So listen to Peter. For if you possess these qualities, what qualities? And it says, add to your faith, supplement your faith. You add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance. What's perseverance? That means you have to be granted hard times. You have to be given hard times. Think of every hard time that comes as a special gift of opportunity so you can discover who you are. Okay? Look at this hard time. God's granted me this wonderful, miserable moment so I can discover the magnificence of faith. Now watch this. Perseverance, godliness. Add godliness to your... That's the nature of God, and brotherly kindness and love. In increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your walk, in your life, and in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, you haven't put them on, you're unwilling to, he is nearsighted and blind. What do you mean? He forgot that he's been completely cleansed from all his sin. The term to reveals that sin defiles and leaves a stain. This sin, the term is harmatia. It occurs 25 times in Hebrews, which is only more. The only one more than that is the book of Romans. It's 48 times that sin is mentioned. Obviously, sin is a great problem in our nature. It appears as the power that deceives us and leads us into destruction. No one teaches a two-year-old to throw a fit and tizzy on the floor and scream and tell mom and dad no. No one teaches us to lie. No one has ever taught a man how to lust. It came very naturally at the proper age. No one teaches anyone how to steal or murder, be angry, throw fits of rage, teaches us how to quarrel. No one taught us how to feel shame. It's all natural. It's all part of the sinful nature. That's what we were born with. And that's why the magnificence of being reborn or resurrected in your spirit, now you get to be free from that activity. Well, what does that do for you? It makes you a little animated and full of life. And people wonder, who in the world are you? His grace has provided the remedy for the defilement of sin by a life freely offered to God. Jesus the Christ has accomplished something incapable achievement by any of us. And I want to say today there is no one like him. It's the Advent. the coming, the beginning to remember, and he is our defender. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Sitting denotes a place of rest. And if you're at rest, if you start fighting yourself, you're at rest. Man, you just get flat out pumped. I'm telling you, you get excited. No literal location when it says at the right hand. God doesn't have a right hand or a left hand. I just need to help you know that. Okay? I won't tell him what you told me one time, Bob, about he doesn't have one of those. Okay? I'll do that later in private, or maybe at Band of Brothers. Okay? And I look at that and I'm thinking, Father, what do you? It says he has no form. He's like in a consuming fire. And the eternal one. Why does he create us? So that we would be filled with joy. So we'd be filled with the magnificence of eternal life. That we would go, wow. That we would enjoy one another in the journey of our life. I look at this and, so how do we do this? Ephesians 4:10, he who descended, that's Christ, is the one who ascended higher than the heavens. Why? Why did he ascend? Why was he lifted back up? In order to fill the whole universe. Who is Christ? This Advent? Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the Advent. This is not religion. This is not a philosophy. This isn't a therapy session. You either know him or you don't. You either walk into his presence, and you'll know if you know him. It says examine yourself, test yourself. Do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? What's the test? Are you seeking him? Have you been rebirthed? The majesty denotes the omnipotent glory. He's at the majesty, the magnificence. I thought, what was that like when all of a sudden God Almighty comes up in a human body? I mean, what are the cherubs doing up there? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Walking into his presence. John looking in Revelation, and you see, he turned to see who was speaking, and he fell like a dead man. Man. Listen to these wonderful words. It's too foolish to think that God would have a right or a left side. He is infinite. It says, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything and everything in the church. What is he? Who is he? What do we do? I was thinking of all the struggles. I get to travel a lot, and I'm so blessed traveling. I get to have new neighbors all the time, and end up having great friends. And amen to that. I love new neighbors and great friends. And I look at this, and I'm thinking, you know, who is Christ? Well, let me share something with you. He is the prophet. What do you mean? Through whom God spoken his final word. There's nothing left. He's a priest. He accomplished a perfect work, purifying his people from sin. What do you mean? He made them blameless now and forever. I'm telling you what, if you'll walk into the presence of God and you'll start seeking him, you will see this world in a totally different way. You will not be fearful. You will not be stressed. Anxiety have no place to rest on you. You will not feel, you will, worry will not even be in a word that you can use. Why? Because you know what to do with it. If it ever tried to approach you, you give it back to God. Cast your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. And he is the king who sits alongside the majesty in heaven. How do we begin to even understand the beauty of all of this? How do we, what's this Advent, the beginning for? I think of Paul. Here's Paul, the Apostle Paul. Okay, and of course, he's become a great man of God. God used him through much difficulty to write most of the New Testament. And yet in Romans 7, he's going through this thing, and he simply says this. Ask yourself if you've ever been here like this. Has it ever happened to you? He says, you know, oh, wretched man that I am. Any of you ever thought about yourself as like a wretched person, that you just can't get your act together? Have you ever thought that you didn't get your act together? Have you ever been like, man? And here's what he says. He says, the things I don't want to do, I keep doing them. I just said I'll never do that again. I will never do that again. There I go. I can remember those days when I was a young Marine. And we have a tendency to overdrink at that time. And I would say, that's it. I'm never doing that again. Well, I didn't until I was back in the rear area again. And it happened to be go to the club. And then I'd wake up, I'm never going to do that again. Or have you ever, I'm never, the things I don't want to do, I keep doing. What do you mean? Well, I don't want to argue with my wife. I don't want to be mad at somebody. I'm tired of swearing. I just kept swearing all the time. It was part of my daily language. I didn't even know I was swearing. I swore so much I didn't know. I was kicked out of a nightclub. Me, Gus Beth. How can you be kicked out of a nightclub? I was kicked out of a nightclub in Detroit, Michigan, 1969. Two bouncers walked up to me dressed in tuxedos. It was a very upper-end nightclub. We were all dressed very, very well. And they walked up to me and said, sir, we're going to have to ask you to leave. And I said, what the blankety-blank for? And he said, that. Everyone's offended by your language. And I said, I didn't even know it. So see, when you, and the things you want to do, you don't seem to get them done. You ever been there? You ever thought, well, that's what I'm going to do from now on. You know, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to give thanks right off the get-go. And then I don't. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord from now on. And I don't. Well, the next time, Lord, you send a bad thing in my way, I'm going to bless your name. Nope, didn't do it. Paul felt the same thing. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. The things I don't want to do, I keep doing. The things I want to do, I don't seem to get them done. Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. This is the advent, the coming of the Eternal One, the One taking on a human form. Why? Because He loves me. He loves you. And it isn't amazing, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, so that the boast is in Christ and Christ alone. Chase Him down. I don't know what happens. When you're chasing Him down, you're not looking for anything else. You're not looking for, all of a sudden, a gift. You're not looking for anything. You're not looking for money. You're not looking for health. You're not looking for anything. You're looking for Him. You're after Him. All you want is Him. And the next thing you know, He's revealing Himself. All of a sudden, one day you hear a voice, and He's talking to you like this, like I'm talking to you. Or maybe all of a sudden it's a promise He gives to you. Don't worry about it. I'm not just your father. I'm your employer. I will take care of you all the days of your life. All of a sudden, you don't know what to do, or you're in a home and a woman has cancer. She's dying. She's got cancer everywhere. And you're not a healer. You don't even know about, do you even believe in these kinds of things? And all of a sudden, but because you're seeking Him on that day, what does He say to you? Today, I'm going to speak through you. And I want you to lay your hands on Cheryl. And I want you to take your staff. And I want you to ask your staff before you lay hands on her, do they have faith? Do they by faith believe that she, on this day, cancer will be removed? I had 6 pastors on my staff at that time. I asked them, do any of you lack the faith to believe that on this moment, today, she will be cleansed of her cancer? 3 of my staff said, I don't believe that. I said, praise God. Thank you for your integrity. Please step out of the room. And then we prayed. This is a terminal case. The next day she went to the doctor and he was like, what in the world happened? No cancer, no tumor, diddly squat. Now, ask me how many times have I done that? Once. What was it for? God's glory. I'm seeking Him. Advent, the preparation of Advent is so that we prepare our children, our families, for Christ. And I know we're so caught up with our presence, we're so caught up with all the stuff that we forget is Christ. There's no one like Him. I look and how do we begin to understand the beauty and the greatness of this text? For if the peace of God which transcends all understanding, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. How is it that we may comprehend or even come to God? Would you like to come to God? Would you like to know His pleasure? You know, I would be lying to you if I told you I do not feel His presence. I would be an absolute liar. I feel His presence all the time. I wake up in the morning. Today I woke up and just about every joint I think I have has an opportunity. And I said, Father, is this as funny to you as it is to me? I looked up and I says, I get a choice to praise You. Listen, listen to these words. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Romans 14:23 says, everything that is not of faith is sin. I can do the ministry in sin without any faith at all. I can know the Word of God. I can go to church and never know Him. I could understand this Bible inside and out and never. I'm just knowing the Word. I'm just doing the Bible studies. But they don't cause me to want Him. It's to know Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Why? Because he that comes to God must believe that He exists. And He is the rewarder, listen to the word, rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. Earnestly seek Him. There is no gift greater that He could possibly give. I want you and you alone. I don't need anything else but you. That's what it means to seek His kingdom. Seek Him. Jesus answered. These are very simple things that He said. He goes to His disciples. I want you to know something. I want you to be aware. He walks them through, because even at the end, at the crucifixion, what do? They all run. You'll find, without faith, you can't please God. You can't do this. You can't live this life you were intended to live on your own strength. You live it in the Spirit of Almighty God, or you won't live it at all. Peter would say, I'll tell you, no one's going to kill you today, Jesus. I'll die with you. And he says, you will? I promise you, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. It won't be. When they come to take him, say, it was Peter that takes out the sword, cuts the dude's ear off. Jesus picks up the ear, puts it back on, tells him, put away your sword. Nobody's getting it yet, because by nature you can't. Without faith, you will never know the Lord. It is by grace you are saved through faith. Without faith, you cannot know Him. You will never live a life of joy and peace. Jesus would answer, I am the way. I am the truth. Listen to these words, I am, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father. No one will know God without coming through me, coming to me. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Yola bole. Think of this, men and women of God. We're in a horrible time. Our nation is a mess. If we get this new president, it's not going to get better. We're headed for a real calamity here. And men and women of God are fearful. It doesn't even make sense. They're stressed out. It doesn't make sense. Well, it does, in a sense. Everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. And the sinful nature is always afraid. It's always worried. Death scares the poop out of it. Really does. I look at it and I think, what is it? How do we come to Him? Salvation is found in no one else. So I ask the question today, do you want to know Him? Would you want to know Him more than any present in the world? More than anything you could possibly ever be given, what could be greater than God Himself? The advent is, He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of his nature. He upholds all things by the word of his power, right out of his mouth. He, after he made purification for sins, he, what do you mean? He removed sin. What did he do? He removed sin. Has it been removed? Amen. Amen. Now you get to live in a carcass that so desires sin. It's a tent you live in, and we get to master it. With my personality, it went simply like this. Every time I went sideways. Not me, this body. I'm in this war with myself. I got this nature. And I'd look at my left hand and I'd say, I'll starve you to death. You don't get your act together. You're not telling me what to do. I'm going to learn to bless my wife. I'm going to learn to love my wife like Christ loves the church. I'm going to learn to give myself away. I'm going to learn, Father, I'm going to take this body, and by your grace, I'm after you, and I'm going to learn to esteem others as more important than me, just like you did. Why did you come? Why did the Advent come, which means coming or visit? Why? Because he esteemed us as more important than himself. That's what love looks like. Do you do that in your home? Do you do that in your workplace? Do you do that in your travels? Don't feel condemnation. There's no condemnation to Christ. If you realize you're not doing it, rejoice today that you can. See, the cross. We talk about Advent and things, and we talk about Easter, the two things that we seem to get people to come to church for. The cross tells us what we think of Jesus. That's what our sin did to Jesus. That's exactly what we did. We get angry with him. Who is he? And the resurrection, what God did for us. This is the beauty of absolute holiness. So I want to, today we're going to have sing the song of response. And wherever you are, whatever you're on your journey, I want to encourage you today, the highest place is Christ. The absolute highest place. Don't let it be mundane to you. I want you to be able to sing a song today, and I want you to be able to enjoy your journey. Relax. Take a breath. Would you like to know God today? Amen? Would you like to walk in his presence? It's going to be beautiful. So why don't you stand with us? I'm going to have a prayer, and they're going to lead us in a song. Oh, look, holy man up here with you. Kim is way cool. Father, here we come. We're coming right into your presence. Some of your sons and daughters are just bewildered by themselves. Father, they're frustrated with their own nature. They're frustrated with their journey. So I'm asking, Father, relieve that frustration in the magnificence of your own name. Father, there's no condemnation anymore. Christ made the purification. We declare that it was done. The removal, the power, the insults. Death has no victory in us at all anymore. So I ask for each man, woman, boy, and girl in this room today, a magnificence. Let them rejoice in you. Let this be a holy time. Let them sing. Let their face show their delight in you. Have your way with us. And Father, take us as your sons in the generation we find ourselves and declare yourself through our life. Declare and lift up so that the souls of men and women can be renewed in a life that is so eternal and so refreshing that they can feel your good pleasure like you can when you're in your home. Father, like our presence, when my wife and I are in our own house, I can feel her presence as I feel yours. May this be a day to remember, Father. And may your sons and may your daughters sing well to you because they want you and they want to express something to you. In the love of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing. I get to stay here.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. Humble himself, and he carried the cross. Thank you.
May you prepare your families in the beauty of the coming. By the way, he's coming again. And it'll be a real wake-up call. He's not coming as a baby. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming in response, and he says to all those that are waiting for him, may this be the day, may this be the most magnificent season you've ever had in the midst of all the national storms that we got, and we got them all. May you know the joy of the Lord as your strength. May you be blessed on this day with his presence. May you be encouraged. The Lord loves you, and he's going to overwhelm you on this day. Thank you for being here. God blessings to you.